Chapter 43 Shadow Brothers. The dark-eyed girl climbed back on her table and started singing again in an unsteady voice. The tune was one Perrin knew as Mistress Inora's Rooster, and though the words were different once more, to his disappointment, and embarrassment that he was disappointed, it actually was about a rooster. Mistress Luhan herself would not have disapproved. Light, I'm getting as bad as Matt. None of the listeners complained. Some of the men did look a bit disgruntled, but they seemed to be as anxious about what Moraine might approve as the singer was. No one wished to offend an Aes Sedai, even with her gone. Billy came back and hoisted two more gray men. A few of the men listening to the song glanced at the corpses and shook their heads. One of them spat on the sawdust. Lan came to stand in front of Perrin.
"How did you know them, blacksmith?" he asked quietly. "Their taint of evil is not strong enough for Moraine or me to sense. Gray men have walked past 100 guards without being noticed, and warders among them."
Very conscious of Zareen's eyes on him, Perrin tried to make his voice even softer than Lan's.
I smelled them. I've smelled them before at Jara and at Remen, but it always vanished. They were gone before we got there both times."
He was not sure whether Zareen had overheard or not. She was leaning forward, trying to listen and trying to appear not to at the same time.
"Following Rand, then. Following you now, blacksmith."
The warder gave no visible sign of surprise. He raised his voice to a more normal level.
"I'm going to look around outside, blacksmith. Your eyes might see something I miss."
Perrin nodded. It was a measure of the warder's worry that he asked for help.
"Ogier, your folks see better than most, too."
"Oh,
Loyle said.
"Well, I suppose I could take a look, too."
His big round eyes rolled sideways toward the two gray men still on the floor.
"I would not think any more of them were out there, would you?"
"What are we looking for, Stoneface?" Zareen said. Lan eyed her for a moment, then shook his head as if he had decided not to say something.
"Whatever we find, girl, I will know it when I see it."
Perrin thought about going upstairs for his axe, but the warder made for the door, and he was not wearing his sword.
"He hardly needs it," Perrin thought grumpily. "He is almost as dangerous without it as with."
He held onto the chair leg as he followed. It was a relief to see that Zareen still had her knife in her hand. Thick black clouds were roiling overhead. The street was as dark as late twilight, and empty of people who had apparently not waited to be caught in the rain. One fellow was running across a bridge down the street. He was the only person Perrin saw in any direction. The wind was picking up, blowing a rag along the uneven paving stones. Another, caught under the edge of one of the mounting blocks, flapped with a small snapping sound. Thunder grumbled and rolled. Perrin wrinkled his nose. There was a smell of fireworks on that wind. No, not fireworks, exactly. It was a burned sulfur sort of smell. Almost. Zareen tapped the chair leg in his hands with a knife blade.
"You really are strong, big man. You tore that chair apart as if it were made of twigs."
Perrin grunted. He realized he was standing straighter and deliberately made himself slouch.
"Fool girl."
Zareen laughed softly, and suddenly he did not know whether to straighten or stay as he was.
"Fool."
This time he meant it for himself.
"You're supposed to be looking."
"For what?" He did not see anything but the street, did not smell anything but the almost burned sulfur scent, and Zareen, of course. Loyal appeared to be wondering what it was he was looking for, too. He scratched a tufted ear, peered one way down the street, then the other, then scratched the other ear. Then he stared up at the roof of the inn. Lan appeared from the alleyway beside the inn and moved out into the street, eyes studying the darker shadows along the buildings.
"Maybe he missed seeing something," Perrin muttered, though he found it hard to believe, and turned toward the alley.
"I am supposed to be looking, so I'll look. Maybe he did miss something."
Lan had stopped a little way down the street, staring at the paving stones in front of his feet.
The warder started back toward the inn, walking quickly, but peering at the street ahead of him as if following something. Whatever it was led straight to one of the mounting blocks, almost beside the inn door. He stopped there, staring at the top of the gray stone block. Perrin decided to abandon going down the alley. It stank as much as the canals in this part of Ilion, for one thing, and walked over to Lan instead. He saw what the warder was staring at right away. Pressed into the top of the stone mounting block were two prints, as if a huge hound had rested its forepaws there. The smell that was almost burned sulfur was strongest here.
Dogs don't make footprints in stone. Light, they don't.
He could make out the trail Lan had followed, too. The hound had trotted up the street as far as the mounting block, then turned and gone back the way it had come, leaving tracks in the stone as if they had been a plowed field.
They just don't.
Dark hound, Lan said, and Zareen gasped. Loyal moaned softly, for an ogier. A dark hound leaves no mark on dirt, blacksmith, not even on mud. But stone is another matter. There hasn't been a dark hound seen south of the mountains of Doom since the Trolloc Wars. This one was hunting for something, I'd say. And now that it has found it, it has gone to tell its master.
Me? Perrin thought. Gray men and dark hounds hunting me? This is crazy. Are you telling me Nita was right? Zareen demanded in a shaky voice. Old Grimm is really riding with the wild hunt? Light, I always thought it was just a story.
Don't be a complete fool, girl, Lan said harshly. If the Dark One were free, we'd all be worse than dead by now.
He peered off down the street, the way the tracks went.
But dark hounds are real enough, almost as dangerous as Murdral and harder to kill.
Now you bring fetches into it, Zareen muttered. Greymen, fetches, dark hounds. You had better lead me to the Horn of Valir, farm boy. What other surprises do you have waiting for me?
No questions, Lan told her. You still know little enough that Moraine will release you from your oath if you swear not to follow. I'll take that oath myself, and you can go now. You would be wise to give it.
You will not frighten me away, Stoneface, Zareen said. I do not frighten easily.
But she sounded frightened, and she smelled it, too. I have a question, Perrin said, and I want an answer.
You didn't sense this dark hound, Lan, and neither did Moraine. Why not?
The warder was silent for a time. The answer to that, blacksmith, he said grimly at last. Maybe more than you or I, either one, want to know. I hope the answer does not kill us all. You three get what sleep you can. I doubt we will stay the night in Ilion, and I fear we have hard riding ahead.
What are you going to do? Perrin asked.
I am going after Moraine, to tell her about the Dark Hound. She can't be angry with me for following for that, not when she would not know it was there until it took her throat.
The first big drops of rain splatted on the paving stones as they went back inside. Billy had removed the last of the dead Greymen and was sweeping up the sawdust where they had bled. The dark-eyed girl was singing a sad song about a boy leaving his love. Mistress Luhan would have enjoyed it greatly. Lan ran ahead of them, across the common room and up the stairs, and by the time Perrin reached the second floor, the warder was already starting back down, buckling his sword belt on, color-shifting cloak hanging over his arm as if he hardly cared who saw it.
If he is wearing that in a city,
Loyal's shaggy hair almost brushed the ceiling as he shook his head.
I do not know if I can sleep, but I will try. Dreams will be more pleasant than staying awake.
Not always, Loyal, Perrin thought as the ogre went on down the hall.
Zareen seemed to want to stay with him, but he told her to go to sleep and firmly shut the slatted door in her face. He stared at his own bed reluctantly as he stripped down to his underbreeches.
I have to find out, he sighed, and crawled onto the bed.
Rain drummed down outside and thunder boomed. The breeze across his bed carried some of the rain's coolness, but he did not think he would need any of the blankets at the foot of the mattress. His last thought before sleep claimed him was that he had forgotten to light a candle again.
though the room was dark. Careless. Mustn't be careless. Carelessness ruins the work. Dreams tumbled through his head. Dark hounds chasing him. He never saw them, but he could hear their howling. Fades and gray men. A tall, slender man flashed into them again and again, in richly embroidered coat and boots with gold fringe. Most of the time he held what seemed to be a sword shining like the sun, and laughed triumphantly. Sometimes the man sat on a throne, and kings and queens groveled before him. These felt strange, as if they were not really his dreams at all. Then the dreams changed, and he knew he was in the wolf dream he sought. This time he had hoped for it. He stood atop a high, flat-topped stone spire, the wind ruffling his hair, bringing a thousand dry scents and a faint hint of water hidden in the far distance. For an instant he thought he had the form of a wolf and fumbled at his own body to make sure what he saw was really him. He wore his own coat and breeches and boots. He held his bow and his quiver hung at his side. The axe was not there.
Hopper! Hopper, where are you?
The wolf did not come. Rugged mountains surrounded him, and other tall spires, separated by arid flats and jumbled ridges, and sometimes a large plateau rising with sheer sides. Things grew, but nothing lush. Tough, short grass. Bushes wiry and covered with thorn, and other things that even seemed to have thorns on their fat leaves. Scattered, stunted trees twisted by the wind. Yet wolves could find hunting even in this land. As he peered at this rough land, a circle of darkness suddenly blanked out a part of the mountains. He could not have said whether the darkness was right in front of his face or halfway to the mountains, but he seemed to be seeing through it and beyond. Matt rattling a dice cup. His opponent stared at Matt with eyes of fire. Matt did not seem to see the man, but Perrin knew him.
Matt, he shouted, it's Baalzamon. Light, Matt, you're dicing with Baalzamon.
Matt made his toss, and as the dice spun, the vision faded and the dark place was dry mountains again.
Hopper!
Perrin turned slowly, looking in every direction. He even looked up in the sky. He can fly now. Where clouds promised to rain, the ground far below the spire top would drink up as soon as it fell.
Hopper!
A darkness formed among the clouds, a hole into somewhere else. Egwene and Nynaeve and Elaine stood looking at a huge metal cage with a raised door held on a heavy spring. They stepped in and reached up together to loose the catch. The barred door snapped down behind them. A woman with her hair all in braids laughed at them, and another woman, all in white, laughed at her. The hole in the sky closed, and there were only clouds.
Hopper, where are you?
He called.
I need you, Hopper.
And the grizzled wolf was there, alighting on the spire top as if he had leaped from somewhere higher.
Dangerous. You have been warned, young bull. Too young. Too new yet.
I need to know, Hopper. You said there were things I must see. I need to see more. No more.
He hesitated, thinking of Matt, of Egwene, and Nynaeve, and Elaine.
The strange things I see here, are they real?
Hopper's sending seemed slow, as if it were so simple the wolf could not understand the need to explain it or how to. Finally, though, something came.
What is real is not real. What is not real is real. Flesh is a dream, and dreams have flesh.
That doesn't tell me anything, Hopper. I do not understand.
The wolf looked at him as if he had said he did not understand that water was wet.
You said I had to see something, and you showed me Baalzamon and Lanfear.
Heartfang, Moon Hunter.
Why did you show me, Hopper? Why did I have to see them?
The last hunt comes.
Sadness filled the sending and a sense of inevitability.
What will be, must be.
I do not understand. The last hunt? What last hunt? Hopper, gray men came to kill me tonight.
The not dead hunt you?
Yes, gray men. After me. A dark hound was right outside the inn. I want to know why they're after me.
Shadow brothers.
Hopper crouched, looking to either side as if he almost expected an attack.
Long since we have seen the Shadow Brothers. You must go, young bull. Great danger. Flee the Shadow Brothers.
Why are they after me, Hopper? You do know. I know you do.
Flee, young bull.
Hopper leaped, forepaws hitting Perrin's chest, knocking him back over the edge.
Flee the Shadow Brothers.
The wind rushed in his ears as he fell. Hopper and the edge of the spire top dwindled above him.
Why, Hopper?
He shouted.
I have to know why.
The last hunt comes.
He was going to hit. He knew it. The ground below rushed up at him, and he tensed against the crushing impact that... He started awake, staring at the candle flickering on the small table beside the bed. Lightning flashes lit the window, and thunder rattled it.
What did he mean, the last hunt?
He mumbled.
I did not light any candle.
You talk to yourself and thrash in your sleep.
He jumped and cursed himself for not having noticed the herbal scent in the air. Zareen sat on a stool at the edge of the candlelight, elbow on her knee, chin on her fist, watching him.
You are Tavirin, she said, as if ticking off a point. Stoneface thinks those odd eyes of yours can see things his can't. Gray men want to kill you. You travel with an Aes Sedai, a warder, and an Ogier. You free caged Aiel and kill White Cloaks. Who are you, farm boy? The dragon reborn?
Her voice said that was the most ridiculous thing she could think of, but he still stiffened uneasily.
Whoever you are, big man, she added, you could do with a little more hair on your chest.
He twisted around, cursing, and scrabbled one of the blankets over him to his neck.
Light. She keeps making me jump like a frog on a hot rock.
Zareen's face was at the edge of shadows. He could not see her clearly except when lightning shone through the window, the harsh illumination casting its own shadows across her strong nose and high cheekbones. Suddenly, he remembered Min saying he should run from a beautiful woman. Once he had recognized Lanfear in that wolf dream, he had thought Min must mean her. He did not think it was possible for a woman to be any more beautiful than Lanfear. But she was just in a dream. Zareen was sitting there staring at him with those dark, tilted eyes, considering, weighing.
What are you doing here?
He demanded.
What do you want? Who are you?
She threw back her head and laughed.
I am Fael, farm boy, a hunter of the horn. Who do you think I am, the woman of your dreams? Why did you jump that way? You would think I had goosed you.
Before he could find words, the door crashed back against the wall and Moraine stood in the doorway, her face as pale and grim as death.
Your wolf dreams tell as truly as a dreamer's, Perrin. The Forsaken are loose, and one of them rules in Ilion.